Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. Why did our forefathers see fit to set aside a certain time to think about those who have in part been responsible for the things that we enjoy each and every day of our lives? There are a number of different reasons, but I think the main reason is because we have a tendency of forgetting. You know, the older I get, the more I tend to forget things. That's why I carry my wallet with me, so I can look at my driver's license and remember who I am. But forgetting things is not just the result of aging. It can also result from being preoccupied with other things. And most of us who are of the male persuasion, anymore it's a persuasion, you know that to be true. At least your wife knows that to be true. We can get preoccupied with things and forget the daily schedule. But forgetting things can also be a decision or a desire to forget. We decide to forget certain things. And then there's also traumatic events that are hidden in the brain in order to protect us from the emotional pain of the event. And such events are not forgotten, they're just suppressed. There is a deplorable phenomenon of our day, and it is the deliberate censoring or revising of history. And it is done by and large to accommodate the touchy-feely, politically correct attitude of a self-absorbed culture. And what we have forgotten is that to choose to forget or to ignore past failures is to repeat its sins. I remember General Dwight D. Eisenhower had his army photographers record the atrocities of the Nazi death camps so that the world would not forget man's inhumanity to man. And then to choose to forget past achievements is to fail to appreciate our worth. And we do that on a national scale, but we also do that personally. We forget the things that we have been able to accomplish. We choose to forget those things because we don't want to draw attention to ourselves. We want to downplay our worth. But memorials are established for that purpose, so that we will remember the good and the bad from which we have come. We will remember the good and the bad from whence we have come. Now, our nation is filled with memorials and with monuments, aren't we? Yes, the nation is. You can go to Washington, D.C., and within an hour, you can bump into at least 100 memorials. Someone said a while back that Washington, D.C. is a place of the dead. And I don't know if he was just alluding to the fact that it's memorials or he's talking about the present state of Congress. I don't know. But there are memorials everywhere. You can't go anywhere in our world without seeing memorials and monuments that were erected to remind us of events that stand behind those memorials. And I would say that it's true that of all the memorials that we recognize in our world today, it doesn't matter if you're American or European or whatever, the most common of all memorials that cause us to remember our past are our graveyards. The places where we bury those who meant something to us. And why do we have all of these memorials? Why do we have graveyards? Why do we have monuments? It is to remind us of our past because we have the tendency to forget. The purpose of Memorial Day. The purpose of Memorial Day is to honor those who made our history worth remembering. It is to honor those who have made our history worth remembering. It is our love for those who died to secure and to preserve our freedoms. And it is their love and sacrifice for us that those national freedoms would be secured and preserved for future generations that provides and that serves as the motive for our celebrating Memorial Day. And this is very important for our nation. Scott Harris said, quote, "The future of any nation demands that its citizens have a sense of history and their place in it." That's a profound quote. Memorial Day, just to give us a little bit of history of the day itself, Memorial Day falls on the last Monday of May, but before 1971, Memorial Day was observed on the 30th of May. It used to be called Decoration Day. Some of you will remember that it was called Decoration Day because it was the day when families observed and decorated the graves of those who gave their lives preserving our freedoms as an American people. The observance itself began in 1868 when General John A. Logan, Commander-in-Chief of the Grand Army of the Republic, declared May 30th as a day to honor the graves of Union soldiers. He stated that the day was to be, quote, engaged in the strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion. And he was referring to the Civil War. That observance took place in Arlington National Cemetery in Virginia on May the 30th. That date, May the 30th, was selected as the day of observance by a French immigrant named Cassandra Oliver Moncure, who explained that the date is celebrated in France as the Day of Ashes when Napoleon's remains were returned to France from St. Helena. In 1966, President Lyndon Johnson declared Memorial Day as starting in Waterloo, New York. Since on May the 5th, 1865, the people there had honored their fallen soldiers. In December of 2000, President Bill Clinton signed the National Moment of Remembrance that encourages us to stop what we're doing at 3 o'clock on Memorial Day afternoon for a minute in silence in honor of those who have died in the service of our country. Since 9/11, there have been included in our remembrance those men and women who've died in the line of duty in emergency services as first responders, such as fire, police, rescue, and medical personnel. Now, I know you love history, so that's why I have shared those thoughts with you. But for the Christian, Memorial Day is more than that, or ought to be more than that. In noting the world around us and just observing the things of nature, God Himself has provided a number of memorials that speak of His great salvation to us. I'm sure today, after service is over and you leave the building, during the course of the day, since I understand it's supposed to be raining off and on throughout the day, you will no doubt see a rainbow somewhere in the sky. The rainbow, it reminds me of God's judgment for sin that ends in death for the sinner. It reminds me of God's grace that even though all have sinned, God saved Noah and his family alive rather than to destroy the entire human race with a flood. And the rainbow also reminds me of God's promise that he would never again destroy humanity by a flood. That is a memorial to us. It is God's memorial to us, to remind us of His love, of His grace, and of His mercy, and of His salvation. And there are other such memorials that God provides for us in nature. Because I love the Old Testament, the Passover, I believe to be one of the greatest memorials in the Old Testament. It too reminds me of God's judgment for sin that ends in death for the sinner. It reminds me of God's grace in that even though all are guilty of sin, God saved the firstborn child of those whose houses were marked by the blood of a sacrificial lamb. And it also reminds me of God's promise that He would provide His own Son as a sacrifice for sin that would save all who put their faith and trust in Him. In John chapter 14, 15, and 16, take your Bible if you will and turn to John chapter 15. But in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, Jesus prepared His disciples for that time when He would die on a cross, be raised from the dead, ascend to the Father in heaven, and turn the ministry of His kingdom over to them. In John chapter 15, beginning in verse 9, Jesus says to His disciples, "By this is My Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be My disciples. Just as the Father has loved Me, I have also loved you. Abide in My love. If you keep My commandments, you will abide in My love, just as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that My joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. This is My commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. And this is the reason why we celebrate Memorial Day as a nation, as a people, to honor those who have sacrificed, who have laid down their lives for us. But for the Christian, there is a higher truth, a greater truth, and a greater memorial, as Ryan had mentioned before the song, a greater memorial that we celebrate, and that is to honor the one who gave his life for us, that we might have life in him. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. The motive behind salvation is the love of God demonstrated toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. The fact that lies behind salvation is the crucifixion of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he gave up his life, when he presented his great sacrifice to God on the cross of Calvary. And the memorial for our salvation is not some monument that has been erected on some hill outside of Jerusalem. The memorial is both a picture and a practice. The picture, which serves as the memorial to remind us of God's great love and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, is the picture of baptism. When a person repents of sin and is baptized, he presents a living picture of what it means to be saved. The person stands condemned in his sin. He then believes and embraces the grace and the love of God in the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. When he is immersed in water, he symbolizes the burial of Jesus Christ and his own death to sin. He then is raised up out of the water, which symbolizes the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his own resurrection to new life in Jesus Christ. It's a glorious memorial of salvation that only Jesus can provide. And every time we witness baptism, that memorial is presented to us again, causing us to remember that there was a great salvation that was provided for us in the person of Jesus Christ. So there's not only a picture in baptism that memorializes the work of Jesus Christ, there is also a practice. And that practice is Christian communion. In 1 Corinthians, turn there, chapter 11, we read this passage every time we observe communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. The Apostle Paul describes the memorial this way: "For I received from the Lord that which I've also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And that's exactly the description, that's exactly the definition of a memorial. When we observe the memorial, we remember the story behind the memorial. And as we honor those for whom that memorial has been erected, we are once again declaring to those all around us the significance of that memorial. The memorial is not just in honor of the person who died, but it's also in honor for whom that person died. And so when we take the cup, we remember that the Lord shed his blood so that we might have salvation. Scripture says, without the remission of sin, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And that's why Jesus shed his blood, so that we might have forgiveness. And when we take the bread, we're reminded of his body that was given for us, a physical, a literal death, sacrifice on the cross, so that we who are dead in our trespasses and sins might have life in him. So Memorial Day is one day out of the year when we honor those who have died to secure and to preserve our national freedoms as Americans. Every time we baptize a new believer, and every time we observe Christian communion, we honor the only one who died to secure and preserve our personal and spiritual freedom from sin and God's judgment for sin. In truth, and again, as Ryan said, he must have heard the sermon before, every Sunday is Memorial Day for us. In fact, dear friends, every day is Memorial Day for us. Amen. Let us stand in prayer. Brother Joe, where are you? Joe Nesnadal, where are you? Come on up, brother. Brother Joe requested that we join together and pray for him and pray for his dear Barbara. Many of you know that she suffered a stroke and she's now out of the hospital and she's at Anbury Rehabilitation in Merced. And he wanted us to have special prayer for her as he comes. It's good to see Miss Elaine with us here this morning. She's out of the hospital and is at home. Welcome back. And Eddie Sylvia asked that we would pray for Michelle. Michelle has some issues in her physical body. There is high blood pressure, near stroke level, so on and so forth, and the doctors are kind of puzzled as to why all of this is coming about. So we want to remember her in prayer. Brother Joe asked that the elders of the church would come and lay hands, and we would pray for him. He is looking at knee surgery in the near future. On the 9th of July. We want to pray for him, but we also want to pray for his dear Barbara. So come. If you will, please, let's lay hands upon our brother for his healing, for the healing of his dear wife. And those of you in the pews, if you will just take the hand of the person next to you. Father, we want to be obedient to all that you've asked us to do. And that is, if there are any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church that they would lay hands upon the individual and pray. And that the prayer of faith, Lord God, will be heard and you would respond, Lord God. And so I lift my brother Joe up to you. And I lift his dear wife up to you as well. I know there is great concern in my brother's heart today for Miss Barbara. But Father, you are working out your plan. And you are steadily, progressively bringing her back to health. And for that, we give you thanks and we praise you in the name of your son, Jesus. We also want to pray for Joe as he is preparing, Lord, for knee surgery in July. And we know, Lord God, that the body is frail. And sometimes, Lord, we wonder if we could even withstand such a procedure. But I pray that you'll give him strength in his physical body, so that whatever the doctors decide to do, that it will be in accordance with your will, and it will continue to preserve the life and health of my brother. We pray for Michelle as well, and ask, Lord God, that you will be with her, and give wisdom to the doctors that they may discover the issues that she has been having that's been causing her health to be drawn into jeopardy. We ask for an answer, Father, that you will restore health and vitality to her. Father, again, I want to say thank you for the men and the women who have given their lives that we might be a nation, a free nation, that we might honor them because they have honored us with their sacrifice. And for those who are serving today on foreign fields, those who are serving today at the home base, that you will bless them and bless their families as well. That, Lord, you will protect them, give peace to them, provide for their needs. And that, Father, through them, you will continue to preserve the freedoms of this country, that we might continue to be a witness for Jesus Christ all over the world, and even to our own people here. These things we offer to you in praise and in gratitude. In the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.